It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
We are back. Detective Dave is joining us. Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
We're good, man. Thank you for joining us again. Lots of stuff in the headlines that could use a man with your particular skill set and expertise. Or we could
pleasure to be on.
Yeah, well, or we could talk about like three idiots. So we decided to have
I'll
you
just
on.
Fake it. Don't worry.
What?
I'm going to fake it. Don't worry.
No, you know your stuff. Here, well, I mean, obviously, once again. There was another shooting in the news. Seems like it happens every week at a school. Yep. And I commented to Dave. I go, Dave, I'm just sick of this all. And Dave said to me, he goes, well, I used to do the background checks in New Jersey. And these background checks seems to be a big issue. So I'm like, you know what? Even though it's just one state, it'd be nice to know what exactly goes into it. Because you hear all this stuff. And then if we have time, Dave, I want to talk about some security at schools. Did you ever work detail at the schools?
Only while I was actively employed. I haven't done anything being retired, though. A lot of guys do that, though.
Right,
a lot of schools welcome retired cops because they carry guns
right.
most of the time.
But you just retired.
On the town, though.
But you just retired, so you've done it. That's all I wanted to know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So you handle the background checks and people wanted to... Is New Jersey one of the tougher states to get a gun license?
New Jersey is one of the tougher states to get a gun license. That's absolutely true. However... The funny thing is that there are different types of states, obviously, when it comes to carrying or purchasing firearms. New Jersey is known as a shall-issue state. What that means is that Joe Shit the Ragman goes to a police station to get a permit to buy a handgun or rifle, whatever. The state shall issue that, unless the state can prove that this person should not have it. There are other states, they're called may-issue states, which basically means that it's up to the person to prove that they can buy a gun.
So the
burden is the opposite. We have to prove that somebody should not have a gun.
So it's a lot. Actually, you would think it's a lot tougher to prove that somebody should not have a gun.
Yeah, yeah, to some extent, if the system worked properly, which is what I was going to get into later.
All right.
A lot of problems with the way the system works. I have a couple ideas, too. But
see, I've always felt, because the right to bear arms is part of the Constitution, the federal government, I've always felt that we really shouldn't have different state having different hurdles to get and different reasons for you to get a gun or not getting it. I always felt like it should be, since it's a federal right, it should be handled by the federal government. What do you think?
I agree. I agree. And that's the idea of what they call the NICS system, the National Information Crime Center database. That's the thing that the dealers actually have you fill out
mm-hmm.
when you go to purchase a handgun, which is different than the background checks that law enforcement officers do locally.
I think
so there is actually a federal system, but you have to remember this. You ever hear the expression garbage in, garbage out?
Yes.
If, as an example, let's say you're in Cape May and you get a bar ordinance summons for possession of a BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
Before it became an actual firearms violation, that was just what they call a disorderly person's offense. If the court does not enter that information into the NICS system, no one's going to know that you were ever arrested for that. That's the first problem.
Okay.
Is that the information that's entered is not entered accurately or it's not entered entirely.
All right. I find a loophole, and we saw this what happened in Parkland, Florida. I find a loophole as the laws currently are, that if a person shows signs of being dangerous, whether it be harming animals, making threats about shooting up a school, threatening to kill a love interest, nothing can really be done by law enforcement, whether it be the feds, local, state. Meaning somebody actually has to commit the crime before you can come in. Now, it's different in some states, but in plenty of states, somebody actually has to commit a crime before you can take those weapons away. And we've seen it happen time and time again where a woman will get a restraining order. He's threatened me. And he has guns. And they go, okay, he's got a restraining order. You come back 6 weeks later, she's dead. The cops knew about it, but they couldn't do anything. I feel that's like a big loophole. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you this. When it comes to domestic violence, basically all you need is an allegation that the person has been violent if it's related to domestic violence. And we as police officers have to search and seize those guns.
Then what?
Even without a warrant sometimes.
But is that New Jersey?
New Jersey is very strict about that.
Is that just New Jersey, though? Is that just New Jersey? Dave? Dave? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. I said, is that just New Jersey where they can take the guns?
Well, there are several states that do that.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know,
okay.
I'm not sure. I couldn't name any offhand, but
Indiana.
Sure that,
Indiana does that. I want to say California does it. Maybe Oregon. But it's. I feel like that should be. And I don't think it should just be domestic violence, by the way. I feel if you can show, like if you show somebody social media page or chat room and they're making threats, I feel like the authorities should be able to come in. And they go, well, I'm just kidding. Fine. At that point, I feel like the authorities should be able to test the psychology of somebody. Oh, you're just kidding. We're going to hold your guns for now. And now the burden is on the individual to prove that they're not really dangerous. Like, I feel like we could save lives.
I agree 100% with that. That's what I was going to say, actually. I think it'd be a situation, aside from domestic violence, it also comes to for police officers, too, that their guns could be taken away. Mm-hmm. And we as police officers have to prove that we should have our guns back before we get them back. I think what you're saying is accurate, meaning that if somebody makes an allegation against you and it's reasonable, you know, it's reasonable. It has to be reasonable. You can't make stuff up out of the air. But if it's reasonable, and we can talk about reasonableness, then your gun should be taken away, and now it's up to you to prove that your gun should be given back to you. I feel when it comes to firearms, err on the side of caution.
You know what? We agree. I'm glad you brought up the police. I was going to get to that a little bit later, but you brought up, like, I don't think just because you're former military or former police, you should get to keep your gun. I mean, because people, you know, listen, being a police officer, whether it be municipal or a state trooper, whatever the case is, being in the military, very stressful situation. Very stressful, and people react differently to it. Plus, you're not in that environment anymore, and not everybody can decompress and chill to not being trigger happy. You know, if you're a New York City cop and you're going to a domestic abuse thing, you got your hand on your gun because you know there's a good chance shit could go down very bad very quickly. If you're in the military and you're in the front lines and you're in the thick of this shit, you know you got to be ready to shoot. You come back home, it's a different situation. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. But I think, actually, it might sound kind of hypocritical because as a retired police officer, I do carry.
Right.
But I'm perfectly sane. Trust me. All five of my personalities are very, very calm.
However,
I do believe, though, that when, you know, let's say you're retired military, retired law enforcement, you get the option to carry. However, you have to go and take a mental health fitness exam.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Once you pass the mental, great, no problem. That takes a couple hours. If you really want to carry a firearm after you retire, you should be able to pass a mental health background. That's what I think should be done.
I agree.
Absolutely, because all the cases of the ex-military, and I'm sure police officers, having either PTSD or suffering from depression. I mean, you don't want to set these guys home and they're not being treated for mental illness or, you know, I mean, depression particularly, and they're going to go home and eat their gun, and nobody did anything about it.
They're actually, you know...
Put it this way. If the state of New Jersey comes to me and says, Dave, if you still want to carry your firearm, you got to go see Dr. Summeroff and make sure you're not a Looney Tune, and I would do that in a heartbeat.
Right.
I'm glad you brought up mental illness and mental competence. How much does that come into play when you're granting or denying somebody a gun license?
Mental health is a big part of it. There are certain situations in New Jersey where we will not issue a firearms permit or a license. One of them is if there's any issue with mental health background, okay? Now, here's the problem with that, okay? This is the biggest problem that I see with background checks. As I mentioned before, the NICS system is federal, okay? And there are statewide systems, SCIC, State Crime Information Center, NCIC, et cetera, okay? So when we do a background check, we do a full criminal investigation on the person. Now, they have to fill out the questionnaire, which says, have you ever been committed? Are you depressed? Are you an alcoholic? You know, all those questions. Have you been arrested, charged, juvenile, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'll say this for your listeners so they don't get any ideas to try and buck the system, because if you falsify that application, not only will your permit be denied, but you could be facing federal charges.
Okay.
Or at least state charges, okay? However, and this has happened before in my own experience, when we do the mental health background, what we do is we send a letter to, I think it's the county adjuster's office in the county that the person lived in, okay? They keep records of any mental health treatment for the person, whether it's, you know, just seeing a psychologist at a hospital or actually being committed to a hospital. So let's say you live in Cape May, mm-hmm. okay, Cape May County, New Jersey, and 12 years ago, you're committed to Cape May County Hospital. Now you live in Bergenfield, New Jersey. You're applying to Bergen County. So we as Bergenfield cops, we would send the letter to the Bergen County adjuster. Unless you told us that you lived in Cape May, or unless we found it on your license that you lived in Cape May, we wouldn't know to send that letter to the county.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
in Cape May.
There's a lack of communication.
This actually happened once, and the guy volunteered it to us. Mm-hmm. He told us, you know, what happened, that he was actually seeing a doctor, mental health physician, in another county.
So let me.
He didn't actually live there, so we wouldn't have known to send a letter to that county unless he told us that.
But
so,
let me.
Do you see a problem with that?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this though. So if somebody reads up on what it's taking to get a gun license, and they really want a gun. When they may want to see a therapist, but they know it may be used against them
right.
if they get a gun. I mean, do you think that policy is actually scaring people away from getting the help they should get?
Well, it may, but you have to understand this. And again, err on the side of caution. I hate to say it. I don't want to sound cold and insensitive. People have problems, but if you have to see a therapist, maybe you should really think about whether you should be purchasing a gun.
Well. Yeah, I mean,
I also understand this too, and I'll go on. If somebody is seeing a therapist and they tell us this, we'll call the therapist, we'll send a letter over to the therapist, and we'll ask them. We'll put the onus on the therapist. You know, Ms. Pip Helix came to see you, and we want to know your opinion on whether or not she should possess a firearm. And they'll send back a letter in every case, either saying yes, Pip is fine, or I'm sorry, Pip is no
good.
Well,
that's hypothetical.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they come back and say, no way.
So it's interesting. So there's members of this show.
Go ahead.
There's members of this show that if they want to go to New Jersey to get a firearm, could possibly be denied based on the mental health aspect of it.
I would hope that I would be denied.
We all hope you would be denied.
that could be the case. But again, there's a difference between having a mental health issue and a mental health disorder. If you're seeing a therapist, I'm not saying that you should not own a firearm. If you've been committed, then I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Okay. But in either case, we're going to contact the hospital or we're going to contact the physician and ask them their opinion. And in that case, unless we get that letter back from that physician or the hospital, the onus is on the person to get that letter to us, one way or another, to say yes or no. Now, again, I don't want to sound insensitive. I understand people have issues.
Sure.
But I do err on the side of caution in most cases.
Yeah, yeah.
But my opinion, though, that whole, I do believe that that mental health background checks should be federal. They're not even statewide right now.
Yeah.
I mean, like the example I gave before, I would know you lived in Cape May if your license, you know, I see your license for the past 25 years, and it shows that you lived in Cape May County. So I know that. You lived in Cumberland, whatever it may be. So I know to send a letter there. I also ask you to list your 10 prior addresses or addresses for the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. And if you don't list that county that you lived in and I find out about it, then I'm going to charge you and we're going to deny you. However, there are times, and it's happened, where people were seen by a doctor and maybe they should or shouldn't have gotten a gun, but we didn't even know about it. Fortunately, in all of our cases, we took corrective action because we do very, very thorough background investigations. I actually had two detectives that did all the backgrounds, and that was like a full-time job for them, just doing background checks, just contacting doctors, doing resident checks. But so backgrounds is one of the problems, but I do have other problems, other issues with the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess, and it's also a database issue that the databases are not working in conjunction with each other throughout the state and throughout the country.
Exactly. That's a good point, Joe. As a matter of fact, what happened in Texas with the church shooting, was it last year? What happened in that case, the Air Force did not enter the information into the federal system. Some people in the Air Force said it shouldn't have been entered. Some people said it should have been entered. Mm. You have the military, a government agency, and you ask 10 different people in that agency whether or not that information should have been entered, and you get 10 different answers. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do believe that, once again, something like that should definitely be entered. I'm going to back up for a second. If I was doing the background check on that guy, let's say he lived in Jersey, and I'm doing the background check on that guy, there's no way I would have found out that he had an issue with the Air Force unless he told me that, because mm-hmm. the Air Force will not give me the information.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to get that information. You basically need a court order to get that.
Wow.
And you're just running a background check. You wouldn't ask for a court order, nor would you get a court order to get something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You wouldn't know.
Unless if the guy doesn't tell me that that the Air Force said he was effed up, I wouldn't have known that.
You can curse.
You know, so there's another problem, is that agencies, especially federal agencies, have to enter the information incorrectly so that everybody can get it. In the background.
So we saw this in Parkland too. There's a lot of communication issues, which has also led to what happened in 9/11. There was communication issues between the CIA and FBI.
Right.
We seem to have gotten that streamlined as far as terrorism. So it sounds like we need to get the background checks for guns, the information for that streamlined. But then you have the Second Amendment people that don't want it because they're like, the federal government's going to have overreach. Some doctor's going to judge that I shouldn't have a gun. This is my right. There's a lot of what I would call irrational thoughts behind it. But these are the thoughts behind putting it into a big database.
Well, anybody who says that they don't want their information entered into a database because they're going to have their guns taken away, let me tell you, if their guns are to be taken away, it's not because they're in a database. It's because they're crazy. They're thinking stuff like this.
Yeah.
I agree.
Makes sense?
Yes, it does make sense. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say one thing. One of the things that could be in place, though, is that if someone was seeing a therapist and they were asked, in their opinion, do they think that you would be safe to have a firearm? If the person wanted, perhaps there could be an appeal process there where, you know,
there is an appeal process.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the way the appeal process works, let's say that one of my investigators denies the application for whatever reason.
Right.
But the applicant can go to county court, appear in front of a judge, plead his case or her case, and then the judge will make a final determination whether to go ahead and issue
mm-hmm.
or, again, deny.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why judges do that is because judges cannot be sued civilly. So let's say a judge makes a bad call and gives somebody a gun and then he goes and does something criminal with it, the judge is not liable.
Right.
So that's how it works, actually.
Now,
my experience, actually, mm-hmm. like as investigators, what I told my guys is, listen, if you have somebody that could go either way, because again, there's criteria for denying a gun. There's like six or seven definite things: significant DWIs, violence, domestic violence, convicted of a crime. But then there's a catch-all one, which is called the health and well-being. Let's say that you have an applicant who does not, who you know, has a fine mental health background. No criminal history, but he's always getting in trouble with the cops. He's gotten 13 tickets in the past, 2 months, like Davin. He's been arrested for DWI three times in the past 15 years. But he's always getting into fights with his neighbors. You know, that's the catch-all one. So if we had somebody who we thought had a propensity for violence but did not meet the exact criteria, I would deny them. I would tell my guys to deny them because, again, I want, in that case, because we know this person, we're always dealing with him or her. Mm-hmm. In that case, we want the judge to make a determination because I'm not going to put my name in blue ink on the bottom of that application and have the person kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Let the judge do it. That's my opinion. But, again, we do that in cases where it's not one of the mandatory set-in-stone criteria. It's the catch-all. Does that make sense to you guys?
It makes very good sense, and that should be a standard thing across the country. You know, and that's one of the biggest things, and one of the biggest problems where these people with mental health issues are getting guns.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so you bring that up. People with mental health issues getting guns. People don't always have mental health issues. Sometimes they develop over time.
Right.
You know, when we go...
Right.
Think
about this. I know where you're going with it.
Where am I going?
When you turn 65 in New Jersey, you got to take a driving test again.
Ah, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you own a gun, you should be taking periodic tests. You know, I won't say what periodic is or when you should do it. We'll leave that up to the legislators to figure that out. But I do believe that if you want to own a gun, again, you have a right to own a gun. However, you have to play nice and show us that you can own a gun.
Right. No, I agree.
Again, in my case, if they came to me and said, you know, Dave, you're 55 now, your eyesight's going, we want you to go take another mental health or whatever it may be. Now, as a police officer, as a retired officer, I have to qualify twice a year. So, I have to show that I'm proficient in shooting the gun, but I don't actually have to take any type of testing after I retire, unless I get arrested unless somebody makes an allegation against me, you know, then that's a different story.
Yeah, I think
I'm not a hypocrite. So if the state came to me and said, Dave, you got to go take a psych, fine, I'll do it.
It just seems like there's a lot of common sense things that they're not doing. I think one of these things that they're not doing, maybe they are. Maybe they are and they just don't know what they're doing. But I feel like part of the process for getting a firearm should be, you know, references. You could say, yeah, sure, references are going to lie for you. I don't think that's always the case. I don't think references.
I was going to talk to you about that, actually.
References and scanning social media. So often,
yes,
we see Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, shit that should raise red flags. Go, you know what? Maybe we need to slow walk this one. Maybe we don't rubber stamp this one. Maybe we need to
look what happened in Florida.
That's what I'm saying, and it happens all the time.
Now, in that case, I don't fault the entire FBI for what happened. Somewhere along the line, some person did not do his or her job. The first person that got the tip sent it up the chain of command.
But the state was involved too.
At the point where that tip died, whoever lap that tip died in, the tip, that person should be fired.
Agreed.
Yes.
But the state also dropped the ball.
What I think is another big point here. Culpability is big, in my opinion. And I was going to talk about the references too.
Okay.
However, if you're a police officer and you don't do a good job in a background check and somebody kills somebody because your background check was shoddy, you should be fired. If you're an FBI investigator, not the whole agency, if you're an FBI investigator and you don't do your job and somebody gets killed, you should be fired, if not charged criminally.
I agree. I don't agree with the charge criminally. But I've I even put this on social media last week. It's like, you know what? Because the guy on the FBI screwed up. I go, you know what? Not everybody gets to be on the varsity. You know what? You lose your job. Not everybody can be the best of the best.
Right.
The FBI is supposed to be the best of the best.
Right.
But now, by the same token, everybody's blaming the FBI. The state was involved, too, with this guy. They'd been to the house, too. There was red flags that they should have picked up. Mm-hmm. This kid was in trouble. This kid was supposed to go to a therapist this week.
Yeah.
This is what gets my goat, too. If I did that, if I was the guy who crapped out that investigation and dropped the ball with that, I would definitely lose my job. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
However, if a Fed does it, we don't even know who did it. You know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know which Fed screwed up in this case.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the problem with that, because I can go to, it's not the exact same thing, but you could go to 9/11 and President Bush knew that there were threats that Bin Laden wanted to strike with airplanes in the United States, and before 9/11, he didn't raise the security level. There were no extra precautions like there were after 9/11.
Right.
So I mean, if we wanted to take this to the logical conclusion, you could say W should have lost his job based on that. I mean, there was over 3,000 lives there, and he had a lot of red flags and information. He's getting briefings that he had the information.
All right, I can see your point, absolutely.
But I believe in culpability.
I do think there should be more culpability when it comes to the investigations, at least.
I agree.
Well, as a matter of fact...
Go ahead.
Because we've been talking specifically about red flags, there's a law. Now, the red flag laws have been passed in 5 states, California, Washington, Oregon, Indiana, and Connecticut. They have statutes that say that they can temporarily take guns away from people that a judge deems to be a threat to themselves or others. And I'm just wondering, why do we not have that law here, do you suppose, Dave?
Here in New York or New Jersey?
In New York or New Jersey.
I think you will see that law here. I do think that's going to be a federal law eventually, especially with what happened last time in Florida. I do think that's going to happen.
Well, it's funny.
As a matter of fact, I think that I thought that they were trying to push a federal bill in either the House or the Senate that actually made that federal. And what the right is trying to do with that by saying, hey, listen, we'll do that red flag bill, make it federal. However, we want to expand. I think it was like open carry across states' borders. Like if I can carry, you know, in New York, I can carry in California.
Right.
That's the trade-off for it. But
which I'm fine with.
It's going to pass, though.
If you have all the guidelines in place. Yeah, because I know a couple of my buddies own guns, and, you know, they can't carry even into the city. They only can carry, like, the island.
I think the training should be equal whether you live in a rural or city area, so that, you know, you have the training so you know how to handle a city or the countryside. And then I do believe, you know what, that's what I'm saying, it should be federalized. And you go, well, it's not all going to be as tough as New York or New Jersey. You go, that's okay, as long as it's not Florida.
I think if this was federalized, you'd have a lot less problems. I truly do. But I got to talk about one other thing that really pisses me off, too, that kind of We mentioned it before with the referrals. You know, the references?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So like you have to supply 3 references in order to get to pass the background check. Now, if you think about this, okay? Davin, you're going to buy a gun, so you use me, Joe, and Pip for your references.
I'll use 2 out of the 3 of you.
Exactly. All right. Now, the way it is right now, because there's no consequences, I'm going to say, sure. What? He's a good guy. He's a great guy, right? But you know what, though? Pip and Joe, let me ask you this a little bit differently now. What if that there was something that Davin did that you were questioning about, that you're worried about? Nothing criminal, but just you're just not comfortable doing that. As it is right now, because you're his friend, you probably still do the paperwork and sign the reference letter. Now, let me ask you this question. Would you still do that if there was a possibility that if Davin did something criminally with that gun that he's going to get because of your reference, that you could now be liable civilly and criminally?
Right. I would think twice on that. And as a matter of fact, with the references, Dave, I was going to ask you a couple of minutes prior, who would you suggest would be references besides friends? Because for that simple reason, which I was thinking of about 10 minutes ago, who would you suggest be the references?
Well, for my background, I used my bosses. Mm-hmm. I always used my bosses. I never used family members.
Mm-hmm.
I used bosses, and maybe once in a while I'd use a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. Now, unfortunately, other than family members, there's really no restrictions on who you can use. You can use your paper boy if you want. You can use, you know, the guy you play golf with every other year if you want. It doesn't really matter. But most people will fill out that paperwork because they either A, don't know you too well, or B, they know you so well that they're friendly with you, and they don't want to do anything to hurt you.
Right.
But you know what, though? If there is a possibility that they could be liable civilly or criminally, it's going to get a lot harder to find people to write reference letters for you.
I think it's
That's
overreach.
What I think should be done.
I think it's overreach. Yeah. Just like, you know, they wanted to make the gun companies liable, and both parties have voted it down, the Democrats and the Republicans. And listen, the gun companies are behind the NRA. People like to say it's the NRA. The gun companies are funneling all the money to the NRA, and the NRA is just doing the gun companies' work. But I think you start to overreach when you make other people that much responsible.
Right.
At some point, you have to have your own responsibility.
I have to agree with Davin on that one because, there's only so much that we can be our brother's keeper. Sometimes there are things that people hide or their behavior changes and their mental state changes. And you couldn't have somebody be responsible for that when that happens. I mean, if I thought that if I thought that there was something amiss with someone and then all of a sudden they wanted to go get a gun, I wouldn't sign off on it for them, my friend or not.
But if you don't know there's something amiss.
But if I don't know there's something amiss and I go ahead and say, well, you know, Joe seems pretty reasonable to me. I think that he would be responsible with it. And meanwhile, Joe is plotting something and I don't know about it. Why should I go to jail? Because he's
well,
a fucking jinx. Maniac.
Well, it's
but
true.
Know,
but nonetheless.
You're having that conversation with yourself right now because of what we're discussing.
Right.
But the way it is right now, I'm sure that people don't have that conversation because the people that these applicants ask are their friends.
Right.
And they're not thinking about they're not thinking about what could happen. That's what I'm trying to say.
I agree with Dave on that point. You know, Dave,
look at you being reasonable.
But here's what you think. Dave, during the whole thing of on this unfortunate shooting, I've been rallying with everybody that it's been a mental health issue. Just a little backstory. When I was 6 years old, my dad lost his job. And 3 days later, he committed suicide with a shotgun. He shot my dog and he shot himself. I was the last person to see him alive. But I've always been a guns rights person. But this has touched me personally, where I realized that mental health is a very big issue in the gun violence. So whereas with the whole background check, I brought up the fact who would be these people that are referenced. And I also agree with you that there should be culpability with it as well, because it would be a deterrent if you're thinking twice about, well, I might be liable for this. Well, maybe you shouldn't be signing off on it.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm all about civil rights, you know, so I get what you guys are saying. But again, this is a life and death issue with it.
I think the ironic thing is
nothing is working right now.
Me and Pip are the conservatives in this conversation all of a sudden, and Joe and Dave are the liberals.
I don't march in lockstep with sometimes my conservative beliefs. I mean, like I said, I've been rallying on this on social media that it's a mental health issue.
It's part of it. It's still not all of it.
But it is a big
mental
health issue.
And I could get very easily tear you a new one for voting for the guy you did and what he's done. With when he says mental health, he gives lip service and he does other shit. But he did do something good today.
Right.
And I gave him credit for that.
All right, good.
And I gave him credit for that on Facebook.
All right.
But he does a lot of shit where he says, mental health, and then he's cutting money for it. I don't want to get into Trump. But yeah.
Well, you're also going to have
something good today. I missed that.
Yeah. Well, he finally said he's going to direct the Department of Justice to do something with the bump stocks to make that illegal, which is the least they could do. But I'll fucking take it.
And he also agreed he shouldn't cut, because I'm not going to get an argument out of him. He shouldn't cut the money to that, because as we just discussed, we need to get the streamlined.
All right. And I told you you wanted to go at me. I'm like, you don't want to go down this road on Facebook, because he got rid of the law where there was like those 100,000 people.
I wouldn't go that way because I agree with you on that.
At the time, you didn't. I don't think. I don't know if you did.
But you started
to go down your conservative route. Like, you don't want to fucking do this with
Trump. But I didn't go. All right, look. All right, let's talk. Poor guy sitting there going, "What? Really? Really? I'm
really
missing a TV show where these assholes got to fight."
I'm always going to get in trouble.
All right. So now what I hear from gun enthusiasts is we don't need more laws. We need to enforce the laws we have. You're law enforcement. You're supposed to enforce the laws. Are they right? Do we have the proper laws on the books? Do we need no more laws? And it's just, the mistakes are falling down to you and the other people that are hired to enforce them?
Well, I can tell you that we enforce the laws. I don't know who says that we should enforce the laws when it comes to guns, because we do. Because with police officers, there is 100% culpability if we don't do our job, 100% liability. So we do enforce the laws when it comes to firearms. Like I said before, I think that the system has to be streamlined, and there has to be more liability with the people doing the investigations and the people vouching for these applicants. But we do enforce the laws, though.
Right, but they'll say that we have enough laws, and I hear this all the time from 2A people. We have enough laws. We don't need any more laws. And I don't think that's true, because, I mean, clearly we saw the president today wanted to take action with the bump stock. That wasn't a fucking law. Even Donald Trump, $30 million from the NRA Donald Trump, I want to repeal all legislation. Donald Trump goes, maybe a law would be good.
Look.
Well, I've always said, the amendment says right to bear arms. It doesn't say the right to bear arms with 15 laws attached to it. So if we have to put 15 laws attached to the right to bear arms to keep people safe, then let's do it. I don't give a crap.
I'm for that, too.
Yeah,
and also with the bump stock. I mean, look, an AR-15 is essentially just your regular hunting rifle until you put a bump stock on it. Now it's almost a full auto. So you really got to do something with. You got to take a step on that.
So
absolutely. That should have been done a long time ago.
Right, exactly.
It's funny. The way the wording in the statute is that, assault firearms are banned because it says that the rifle that fires, X amount of rounds per minute, fully automatic, mentions nothing about the bump stock. That's why
and a bump stock turns into a full auto.
Part of the firearm.
Now let's keep something in mind, because people like to talk about this period of time that we're having, where almost every day, you've seen it, from 1994 to 2004, there was a law on the federal books that prevented people from getting these AR-15s. It originally started with George H.W. Bush in 89 when a bunch of kids got killed in California at a school. So that's what got the ball rolling. And then by 1994, Clinton was in office, was able to get it into law with the support of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Jimmy Carter. It was a bipartisan thing, and it went away in 2004. And now we have all these assaults with the AR-15s, so that's when people go, well, how come they're all happening now? It's the kids that, no, we got rid of the fucking law! We had a law for 10 years where it was Columbine, where it shook the fucking world, it shook this country, but it wasn't every day. Now it's...
They actually changed the law in New Jersey. They didn't actually get rid of it. It used to be no assault weapons, any rifle, an AR-15s and assault rifle.
Right.
What they did was they changed the law to basically say that if your rifle has this, and if it has this, and if it has this, if it has a collapsible stock, if it has a 7-round magazine or clip, if it has a rail on the top, if it has 3 of 10 things, in New Jersey, it's considered an assault rifle, therefore illegal, whether it's an AR-15 or not.
But again, that's a state law.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay,
right. Right. But I'm saying the federal law, they did away with it, which is why now it's easy in Florida to get an AR-15. If they had this fucking law still in place, they wouldn't have had it. So when people go, oh, it must be the kids. No, we got rid of the fucking law.
But what's the capacity between a regular hunting rifle and an AR-15? It's basically the same thing with a different stock and a plastic body.
I think they can get rounds off more quickly.
Yeah, but if you take your AR-15 and you do, if you put three things on it, then an AR-15 does not come with stock. If you put a rail on the top, If you put a collapsible stock, if you put an extended magazine, if you put another thing, I'm trying to think. I don't have the statute in front of me right now, but an AR-15 sold stock right now is not considered an assault rifle unless you make certain changes to it.
And everybody who wants to do this type of damage is making changes into it. They're not walking in. And I'm talking out of my ass here. I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing due to the damage that they're doing, they're not walking in with the stock AR-15. It's like, well, you know what? You can have the V6 Camaro, or you can have the V8 Camaro with the, you know, with all the hydraulics and all that bullshit in the and the nitrous and everything. A car's going to go a lot faster than it's designed to go. These things are going to kill a lot more. You can get the stock model, but if you really want to race, or in this case, you really want to kill, you're going to get all the bells and whistles.
But a magazine capacity would go on a regular hunting rifle the way it would go on an AR-15.
Well, Dave, why are they choosing AR-15s in almost every one of these things?
Why? I hate to say it, but what do you see in movies?
Okay. Do you see the AR-15?
That's what I think.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I think.
So now, Dave, I have a theory, and I'm actually talking about this in my act. I started talking about guns in my act, where people say, we have a gun problem in this country. And I'll go, yes, but more specifically, we have a men with gun problem in this country. Because there's plenty of women.
I saw your post on Facebook.
Yeah. Because I got to think about it. There's plenty of women that have that are gun owners. They don't snap this way. And there's plenty of mentally ill women, you know, who have a lot of shit going on, and depressed women, and they don't fucking snap this way. There's something with men and the way men are processing their fucking experience that makes them think that this is okay and I want to do this. What do you think? I got shit from gun owners and I got shit from Joe from a lot of people. How dare you? I'm like, no, I'm not saying all fucking male gun owners, but there's something about men that does this that women don't do it. What do you think?
Well, not to get into the psychology, because I'm not familiar with the psychology of it. However, I'd say this, and you said it yourself, the pool of men is much larger than the pool of women. So therefore, the law of averages would say maybe that's why it's only been men thus far. And who knows? Maybe you'll have an anomaly sometime soon, God forbid.
But Dave, that's it. It would just be a fucking anomaly. We've had a fucking ton of these things. It's never a chick who goes into a church or a theater or a mall or a school. It's always, every fucking time, it's a guy. There's something wrong with the, and it's American men. I'm not talking about
American
terrorists.
Men. What? White American men.
Yes, there's something with the way the American male is processing their experience right now, whatever that is, that makes not all of them, not every white American male gun owner, but some of them, that is making them think, this is my out. This is how I'm going to even the score. This is okay. This is the glory. Whatever the fuck it is, it's always something along those lines.
This is going to bring me glory.
Right. I think we're not looking at that enough. Yeah. We got to see the difference. And now another Trump thing. The CDC can't even fucking look at this shit anymore. That's another Trump thing. We need to fucking look at how men are processing their gun ownership experience versus how female are using. And I have a theory on that too, which is also now part of that. Women look at a gun the proper way. It's a fucking tool. Whether that tool is to hunt or protect your family, it's a fucking utilitarian tool like a hammer. And there's men who look at it like that, too. Mm-hmm. And those are the right-minded men. It's a fucking tool. And I wouldn't deny them the right to have that tool. It's in the Constitution. But there's another group of men that look at a fucking gun as an extension of their dick. I'm a man.
Absolutely. I can see that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting at. So,
But the thing about it is, and if you're a responsible gun owner, I mean, I've shot guns at my buddy's ranch out in California, up on my family farm, gone hunting and stuff like that. Gun safety has always been You don't pull a gun and let you plan on using it.
But we're not talking about right-minded people.
But that's the whole thing. So and it gets down to the psychology of people that are using this with background checks and so on and so forth.
But what I'm saying is we can't just say it's mental illness. There's something else because women are mentally ill too.
But I do think it is a mental illness part of a male psyche.
And the thing is when they're mentally ill, their weapon of choice is a gun. Usually, yes, people are going to go, well, there's been stabbing. Yes, but more often than not, by a lot, it's a gun.
And men will get in fist fights a lot more than women will. It's just a man thing.
So you know what?
Maybe it's the way you handle your emotions and the way you take out your emotions and the way you feel about handling a weapon,
which is
a psychological thing.
Maybe the standard should be higher for a man to own a weapon than
a woman.
But
we would just discuss, well, that kind of fits in line with the standards to get a gun.
Yeah, see, I agree with Joe on that one because, Davin, in that case, before yourself, I agree with you, Davin, by the way, that it's been men thus far, okay? However, it's the small minority, the fractional small minority that's doing this
of
the male population.
Right, right.
So
no.
you're gonna screw the other, you know, 99.999% of gun owners.
No, Dave, you're misinterpreting. I'm not saying take away everybody's gun. I'm saying our testing has to be better. I'm saying we have to look into what type of man reacts this way. I'm not saying men shouldn't get guns, but I'm saying as part of our testing with the mental wellness and everything, this has to be part of what we look at. And I'm not saying, well, you play video games, you're going to shoot people. No, but it all has to go into the pot to see if somebody is predisposed to do it. And it's more likely that a man is going to be predisposed.
Right. So you think then by me doing a background check on a male, I should be more, I should do a more thorough job than if I was doing a background for a female?
No, I think you have to be equally thorough. I just think perhaps with men, there should be more things to look at because we see a difference. I don't know what those things are. If Trump didn't ban the CDC from doing the studies, maybe we would fucking learn.
Well, I got a quick question. Is there a gun safety class mandatory in getting a license?
No, and it should be, actually. Don't you
right. Now, let's get back to the point that with Davin like that. Well, these guys that don't, you know, that just think, you know, it's just part of being a macho man. Dave, as you know, gun safety, you know, when we first learned to shoot guns, whoever was shooting with us in the scouts would have gun safety, gun safety, gun safety, gun safety, gun safety. That, in my opinion, would weed out the herd. If you have to take a gun safety class, at least you would know that you respect this weapon, you treat it damn seriously, you learn how to operate it, learn how to store it, You know what I'm saying?
And if you don't store it properly and you don't secure it and somebody else gets a hold of that, you're going to have a problem.
You should have to report it right away. Mm-hmm. As soon as you find out, and most people do, I think, but as soon as you find out that your guns have been stolen, that should be reported. And there should be...
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, you're a fool if you don't.
Right.
And culpability if you do not report it.
I think I might have asked you this before, Dave. I don't know if... I don't recall. So, as a police officer, do you feel better with more civilians walking around with guns or less civilians? I'm not saying they're good guys, not saying they're bad guys. I'm just saying there's guns in the civilian population. As somebody whose job it was to enforce the law and protect the public, is your job easier or harder with more guns in people's hands?
Oh, that's a tough one for me to answer because in New Jersey, only cops can carry guns, you know, or criminals can carry them too, obviously. But take a state like Texas. You know, there's both sides to the coin there because as a police officer in Texas, every motor vehicle stop, you know, you're probably dealing with somebody who has a gun on them, which could be a little harrowing, because what if you stop that person that had a bad day?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They're going to snap it. You just happen to be the cop that stopped them. However, conversely, to play devil's advocate, that's what us independents do, by the way. To play devil's advocate, in Texas, you would think, if I'm walking through the mall and I'm just a civilian and I know there's other people in the mall carrying guns, and something happens, like a terrorist attack, I probably have a better chance of surviving because somebody else can protect me
or
as a civilian.
Shoot you accidentally.
In Texas. Makes sense?
Well, here's the thing, and I've talked about this on the show. First, I would say, or shoot you accidentally, though I understand when you're in the thick of it, you hope somebody has a gun. But I said when I came back from Italy, There was a lot of police and military presence around. Now, we don't have military on the streets in the United States unless we're doing a parade for the president, which we haven't done yet. But we have. I am for when a couple years ago people were like, and you lived through this, when the cities and the states were cutting all the money, and a lot of that meant less police forces. And you, I'm sure you saw it. I'm like, no. Let's spend. I don't want me walking around with a gun. I might be a good shot. But if I'm not, a trained professional. I have my civilian experience. I'd rather have more people like Dave. Yes. I'd rather have more trained professionals that know how to handle a mall situation, know how to handle an active shooter, know how to get people to safety and take it out than just a random guy with a gun. I'd rather spend the money on more police.
Oh, okay. I love that idea.
Funny. Or spend the money on guards, you know, have armed security. You know?
But you could do contractors. But again, there's something, you know. Maybe this is very white of me. I dig the police. You know, I don't like when they're harassing me for tickets. But overall, I dig the police.
No, I love them. Yeah, no, I'm very pro-police.
I am too.
You know, and everybody, when shit goes down, they want a police officer. They don't want a random stranger that has a gun on them. So I'm like, fucking spend the money on police. Get more police. No. Don't make their fucking existence miserable. When there's bad cops, as we've talked about this on the show before, hold their feet to the fire.
Right.
But let's make it a fucking better job. Let's pay them right.
Sometimes everything can't be like Penn Station. And I bring up Penn Station where you feel so safe in Penn Station.
But that's where we're headed,
because,
unfortunately.
You know, because there's, you've got
but
you
I think it all works
and you've got the National Guard are there, you know.
I think for now, we have to beef up the police ranks.
We do.
Until we can enact a lot of the other shit that we've talked about. And then when you have more stringent testing, better mental health, more culpability, then you might be able to dial down the police presence because there's less people that shouldn't have guns walking around.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. No, I get your point, Davin, definitely. But I always tell people when I have discussions about who should carry guns and whatnot, and it's usually the far left that's, you know, obviously totally against guns. So I'll say to the person, let's imagine you and I are walking through the mall, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a retired police officer, and I'm carrying a gun, just like you're saying, Davin. I've been trained for it. I'm mostly sane, right? And I'm usually sober. That was funny.
We hope.
And now we're walking through the mall, and something happens. There's a shooting. Aren't you going to be glad that I'm right next to you?
Yes.
Yes, because you're a trained professional.
Because you're right, a police
officer. I'm agreeing with your point.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, no disrespect, Joe. If it's a choice between you with a gun and you're training and you're a good shot, you go to the range and everything, you skeet shoot and all that stuff, and you're a fine shot, or I got Dave with the gun and shit goes down, I want Dave.
Okay, you're taking the odds. Hopefully Dave is with you when shit goes
down.
No,
I'm saying, but I'm saying, put more police there.
And is trained the same way I would be trained and has to qualify the same way I have to qualify. In that case, would you let Joe to be in the mall with you?
No. Well, for a lot of reasons. But no. No. Because you know what? And this is even for cops, too, by the way. Just because you can be in a controlled situation doesn't mean you react the way when the shit is going down. Even if you're properly trained, there's a certain pressure. There's a certain muscle memory that comes with having been there, done that before. It's why you want to be with why if you're on patrol, you want the cop that's a 10-year vet and not the fucking rookie. The 10-year vet has seen a lot of shit, been there, done that. The rookie has good training. He's psychologically ready to do it, but he doesn't have the experience the 10-year vet does.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you know what? Sometimes you can't pick and choose the situations, you know.
Well,
and if you're in a situation like that, you know, if something happens, sometimes you'd be there wishing I had a gun. I was trained to use it. It could be a deterrent.
That's a good point.
And the funny thing is, you know, you mentioned Texas. My mom used to tell me a story that my father told, that there was a robber went into a bar in Texas, pulled out a gun and said, "This is a stick." He didn't even get passed up. He was dead within a second. He didn't even know who shot him. There was so many bullets in him, you know.
All right, I want to do this. I want to do this quickly because time is getting late. What do you think is the minimum amount of protection we currently need in our schools to keep everybody safe?
In this day and age,
yes,
you need armed security, and unfortunately, in Florida, they had an armed security guard. However, I think the campus was like 45 acres big.
Yeah, it's a big campus.
The guy carrying the firearm, security guy, was nowhere near the shooter.
Right.
You know, so what's the sense then? You know.
Yeah.
But I do think, I hate to say it, but I do think you need to have responsible, trained, experienced people in schools. in this day and age. I hate to say it, but you know what, though? My kids are in school, you know, and I'm thankful that they have retired officers in the schools that my kids go to.
Well, let me ask you that. Let me ask you this, because I'll hear from people go, we can't afford that. We can't afford to put the police there, which always makes me fucking think, what are we paying our taxes for? That's what the fucking money should be going to. Leave the pothole, get the cop in the school. But whatever. But you hear people go, you know what we need to do? We need to have the teachers carrying guns. And I'm like,
No, absolutely not.
Okay, we agree.
Unless that teacher's a retired cop.
Fine.
You know, listen. But no.
It's bad enough you're diddling the kids. We don't need you doing it by gunpoint.
But you do need somebody there trained.
Right, we're agreeing.
With pharma, because basically if anybody argues with it, all right, look, you have a heart defibrillator there. You have somebody trained to use it. You have, you know, a fire extinguisher. You get somebody trained how to use it. You know, in this day and age, you need somebody trained for self-defense.
Well, we all said we want somebody there.
But just in case we come into the argument against that, that would be a decent argument for that.
So I want to read you, Dave, what's going on in my town. I'm actually pretty happy with my town. I want to read it, and I want your opinion on it. First of all, you need to know the budget in our town, school budget passes pretty much every year. And I guess the last one was overwhelming. And you get what you pay for. You know, a lot of people, I don't want to pay taxes. You know what? You're going to pay for it anyway. You have a good school system, you're going to have good property values. You have good property values, when you want to sell, you can fucking sell. You have a shitty school system where kids aren't learning or they're not safe, your property value is going to go down the toilet. So for my money, pay me the fucking tax me. Give me a kick-ass school system with good teachers and now safe. So our superintendent, who's very good at communicating with us, usually at 5 a.m. when it's drizzling and there won't be, school's going to be delayed 2 hours. But... this is what he's very good at communicating with us. So he goes, over the past years, the town where I live in has put in these security enhancements. Security resource officers. The district now has two full-time police officers, 4 schools, as well as 7 security guards on staff to increase the security level in our schools. Police school visits. Police officers perform daily walkthroughs of all buildings as well as daily unannounced visits to each school. Safety plans. The district has developed a confidential district-wide school safety plan and building-level emergency response plans. School greeters. Greeters are located in each school building entrance during the day to sign in guests, run Raptor security checks, and unlock interior doors. Now here's the Raptor visitor management system. Visitor management technology performs a background check for every visitor each time they enter, prints a badge with visitor's name, photo, date, time, and destination, and can send alerts to administration and law enforcement. Security doors. Upgrades have been made at a couple of the schools. I'm not going to say which ones in case somebody's listening. to include airlock double door entryways and locked entrances with approved swipe access. Lockdown and emergency drills. This is all shit we never had, by the way. Nor did we need.
No.
In addition to regularly scheduled fire drills, that's what we did. We also had bomb drills. The district conducts 4 lockdown drills annually in each building. Emergency drills include school bus and tabletop crisis drills. The district coordinates with each other organizations, Orange County 911, Orange County Mutual Aid, and local first responders. Automated external defibrillators located within a 4-minute range in all buildings and on each school bus. Video surveillance. The police department now has wireless access to district video cameras both in police cars and at the police department. Love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
District-wide communication enhancements. The district has purchased 75 new digital radios. Hey, they can listen to the show. Located at district schools and a district and additional high-resolution cameras. Crisis teams, staff members trained in crisis management. That's pretty standard. Professional development. District faculty and staff continue to receive security and training. So social media. In collaboration with the police department, the district pays close attention to inappropriate student activity on social media. Safety consultant, recently completed district school and security vulnerability assessment. They got coming up for the high school this summer. The main entrance vestibule will be renovated to secure a single point of entry. In the middle school, the main office will be relocated to provide the vestibule with an increased level of security as part of the approved capital project construction. Active shooter drills, we all know what they are. The police departments, they come in and they do active shooter drills. So anyway, that's what's going on in my school. I got this. I'm like, fuck yeah, tax me more. I'm glad I'm living in this fucking town that has it together. Do they have it together?
Actually, no. I wasn't paying attention. Can you read that whole thing to me again?
Hysterical.
Man.
Fuck you.
Hysterical.
Hysterical.
Pip, read it in Spanish.
Actually, awesome.
La seguridad. Well,
Burgerfield did most of that, too, but that sounds awesome.
Okay.
And think about this, too. Think about this. Let's say, God forbid, somebody was thinking about doing something in that school, and now they're reading this. They're going to think twice about it, don't you think?
I love it.
I didn't know we had all this shit in place. I love it. Now, I graduated Bergenfield High School in 92. I remember when that was around 91, 92 is when the Bergenfield police started making a presence in the high school. But it was for a different reason. We were getting like city kids coming in, going to school there. So there was more fights. People were bringing knives. Seems pretty fucking tame by what we were dealing with now. But I remember back then thinking, wow, this is different.
Yeah.
And now look at what we're talking about. But I got to tell
you. That sounds good to me, dude. I like that.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, man. And these towns fucking figure out a way to make this happen. It's just so worth
it. Should be a standardization for all school districts as a mandate.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is people say, well, we don't have the money. You got to find the money. That's why I get upset when you cut taxes. No, fucking keep the taxes and pay for shit like this.
But we're talking about nice suburban areas where people have the money for these taxes.
You got to, like Joe said, make it fucking standard. That's what I'm saying. The Fed has to come in. The Fed has to come in and make sure that the more dangerous areas have these. Every child should have a fucking right to go to feel safe when they go to their school. That should be the right of every American child, and every American parent should feel comfortable sending their kids to school. That should be part of our basic fucking rights.
Right, but that's the problem with a lot of inner city schools is that they are underfunded. They don't have the stuff that they need to teach the children, much less keep them safe.
Is why you want people with the mentality of mine. I guess it's the liberal mentality. Fucking tax me. Keep the kids safe. I'll be fine. I won't get the $4,000 mattress. I'll get the $2,500 mattress. I'll get the $2,000 mattress. I'll be fucking fine.
No.
Tax me. Keep the kids safe.
No, I totally understand that. And in a perfect world, people would have all these. We'd have these things in place.
But we're looking to cut. We cut all these taxes, and it gets trickled down. I get it. But this is what I'm saying. And Joe and I have had the conversation. We agree with this. There's a lot of waste. A lot of fucking waste in the government. Right. So, and they all say they're going to take care of the waste. None of them take care of the waste. Left, right, center. Nobody fucking takes care of the waste.
But what I'm talking about, in New Jersey, the way that schools are paid for is that they are paid for by all the taxpayers.
Right.
The homeowners. They're paying for it. These people don't, in lower income areas, they don't have to live, and they don't have enough money to pay more
taxes.
But
that's why I'm saying that in cases like that, the federal government has to fucking intervene. Maybe we don't need the tax cuts for the billionaires. Intervene. Give that money to the states with the express purpose of making sure that every school has it. No, you don't get to use it as discretionary spending for where you feel fit. This is what you're fucking using it for.
Right.
We're going to oversee, and if you don't do it, there's going to be penalties. You're not going to get tax breaks for other shit. That's what they should be doing.
Maybe we should stop throwing billions and trillions of dollars at the Middle East and take care of our kids here.
All right.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Very good segment, Dave. Thank you so much.
Yes, Dave. Thanks so much. That was very, very insightful.
You're awesome, Dave.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. I totally enjoyed it.
Thank you, brother.
Cool.
I'll talk to you soon. Right now, we got to fuck around with scammers. We're going to take a break.
All right, have fun with that.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Be well, my friend. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very good segment. All right, on the break, we're going to have music from B Infinite and Chris Cowley with Bad Girl, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.com.